grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This high feast of Pentecost is the culmination of the Easter season, 50 days after we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. It's really the culmination of the entire church year. So it will be good for us to hear what the scriptures say about all the amazing events of that day. You heard already what was in our epistle for today, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Listen now to the rest of the story of that day from verses 14 through 42. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So far, the day of Pentecost. How would you know who the believers in Jesus were on the day of Pentecost and in the days following? You couldn't see the faith in their hearts, of course, nor could you see the love in their hearts for God, which flows from faith. But what you could see were simply their actions. Some 3,000 heard the word of Peter that day of Pentecost and were baptized. They didn't just get baptized, of course, but as we read, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. You could tell who the believers were by what they did. As Jesus said in today's gospel, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So it is with the Holy Spirit himself. You can't see him. No one has ever seen him. But you know him, and you know his presence by what he does. Now the scriptures are full of the deeds and, of course, the words of the Holy Spirit. But today, on the day of Pentecost, God gives the opportunity to know him and his Holy Spirit through the mighty works of the Spirit revealed on the day of Pentecost. First, there were those three signs from heaven, miraculous signs. The sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind in the place where Jesus' disciples were gathered. They were gathered there doing the very thing Jesus had commanded them to do before he ascended into heaven 10 days earlier. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, the sending of the Holy Spirit. But how were they to know when the Spirit had finally arrived, since they wouldn't be able to see him? By the sound of a rushing wind. Early in his ministry, if you recall, Jesus had said to Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." So this sound of the rushing wind was a sign to Jesus' disciples that the Spirit had now come upon them, and that he would continue to blow like the wind throughout the world, converting sinners to faith in God, where and when it pleases him. Then you have the second sign from heaven, the divided tongues as of fire that sat on the heads or upon the disciples. What were they to know about the Spirit from these tongues of fire? Well, tongues are for speaking, and fire is for burning and spreading, like the wildfires that sometimes ravage our land. The Holy Spirit would allow the disciples then to speak with fire. That's like what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" In other words, the Holy Spirit would be working through the preaching of the apostles to set hearts on fire, to break through stubborn hearts, and bring sinners to see their own wickedness, their own rebelliousness, to fear God's wrath, to sorrow over their sins. And then he would kindle faith in their hearts, faith that looks to Christ and his sacrifice for sin, so that there they might find a gracious Father who forgives sin for the sake of Christ alone. Finally, there was the third sign from heaven, the speaking in tongues that the disciples were suddenly doing, in different languages that they had never learned before. Languages that were understood, though, by the Jews who were present in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, but who had come from other nations and were born there. What did that reveal about the Holy Spirit? That he would accompany the apostles throughout the whole world, just as Jesus had told them to go into all the world, as they discharged their office of speaking the gospel to people of every tribe, tongue, and nation. And you may wonder why we don't see these particular signs anymore today. Well, remember that even two of these three signs from the day of Pentecost were never repeated even in the days of the apostles. The supernatural sound of wind and the tongues as of fire. Those were never seen again after the day of Pentecost. The speaking in tongues was given here and there by the Holy Spirit during the days of the apostles, as well as other miraculous signs like prophecies of the future and the healing of diseases and sicknesses. The signs were there to confirm the testimony of the apostles, to show the world that the Holy Spirit really was working through their preaching. But as in all things, once something has been confirmed, it doesn't need to keep being confirmed over and over again forever. So with the signs. Well, so much for the spectacular signs that taught us about the Holy Spirit's coming and what he was on the earth to do. But the gifts of the Spirit are not restricted to external miraculous signs. Even more important are his other gifts, many of which we see revealed at Pentecost. As we read those other verses just a moment ago, look at the powerful preaching of the Apostle Peter on that day, where the crowds were attracted by the commotion caused by the signs. See the boldness that was lacking before, when he and the others were hiding in fear from the Jewish authorities. And especially note in Peter's preaching the emphasis on the person work of Christ Jesus, and how he correctly ties together the Old Testament prophecies from Joel and from David in the Psalms, and shows how they pointed to Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. That's a mark of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus himself had said, the Spirit will testify about me. Or again, he will glorify me. Or again, in today's gospel, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Fearless, Christ-centered, consistently scriptural preaching is a work of the Holy Spirit, not of man, even though it's done through men. And not the preaching only, but also the sacraments are tied to the Spirit's work. Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said baptism is. It is to be born again of water and the Spirit. Or what did Paul call baptism, writing to Titus? The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So Christ-centered preaching, baptismal regeneration or rebirth, those are the Spirit's works, even though they're performed by men. But there's yet another work of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost in the response of the hearers. What was the response of many who heard Peter's preaching on that day? They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Cut to the heart. In other words, the Spirit-filled words of Peter had an effect on the people who heard them. his revelation of their sin, especially their sin of rejecting the Messiah, those who had been in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified, and of enabling his crucifixion. That preaching worked godly contrition or sorrow in their hearts. And then when Peter proclaimed the promise of forgiveness in Christ's name, what was the response? Some 3,000 were baptized on that day. Now, faith, trust in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, isn't something a person can come up with on his own, as you well know. It's a gift of God, as St. Paul says. It comes by hearing. Or, as he writes to the Corinthians, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All those who believed the apostles' message on that day and every day after that day are evidence of the Holy Spirit's work. And not just the initial faith, but also the continued devotion to God's word and sacraments, to the whole truth proclaimed to them by the apostles. The deeds of love that followed as Christians loved one another, supported one another, forgave one another, and lived together in harmony with one another and at peace with the world wherever possible. Also, the ongoing repentance of the believers, the growth in righteousness and sanctification, the daily struggle between the new man and the old man, the inner peace of the believers who know what it is to have peace in the midst of all the turmoil of this life, the peace that Jesus promised to his disciples in today's gospel. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wherever there is a little bit of hope because of Jesus, wherever there is a little bit of peace in this world because of Jesus, there is the Holy Spirit's work and evidence of his work. Preaching in the sacraments, faith-filled hearing, and all the godly works that follow in the church, in short, the Holy Christian Church on earth itself, is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the thing that the Spirit has built. It is the thing that the Spirit sustains and preserves by word and sacrament. It is the thing that stands throughout the world as a testimony of the Holy Spirit's power and working, even as the doctrinal divisions in the Christian Church stand as testimonies to the demon spirits working, as Jesus said would happen. But still, the Church stands. And still the church will continue to stand and to thrive spiritually, if not externally, until the Holy Spirit finishes his work by raising up our dead bodies on the last day and giving eternal life to me and all believers in Christ, as we confess in the third article of the Small Catechism. This is the power of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit working every day in the church and in the world through the church, through word and sacrament, as we preach and as we hear. You don't see the Holy Spirit working directly, but without his presence in the church, there would be no church and no Christians. And you would have no faith, no love for God or your neighbor, no hope and no peace. But thanks be to God, the Lord Jesus kept his promise and sent his Holy Spirit into the world to bring us into his kingdom and to keep us here and to sanctify to himself people who love him and who keep his word, that he may dwell within us and among us, both here in time and there in eternity. May your Spirit-worked faith be known in the world by your love for Jesus and by your keeping of his word. Amen. Please stand.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.